If you're an established woman in tech who is creating results and making an impact at work, so your workload and stress just keep growing, but promotions and salary bumps remain a distant dream, it's time for a change. Listen, we all know the tech industry has dramatically changed. It's time your career approach did too. You don't need cookie cutter programs or dusty advice from outdated playbooks because what works for tech bros won't work for you. You need individualized, bespoke support to build your brave career, one that reflects who you are as a woman in tech. I invite you to explore career coaching with me. Get all the details, including prices and client results, at tricksteinbach.com. You can stress less, work less, and earn more. You've already earned it. Let's make it happen. Welcome to the Build Your Brave Career podcast, where we flip the script on the tired stereotype that women in and around the tech industry have to be stressed out, overworked, and underpaid. I'm Nicole Tricksteinbach, the International Bravery Coach and your host. Forget what you've been taught. Bravery is not a personality trait available only to the brash. Bravery is a skill, and you already have it. Which is great, because building the skill of bravery is the most powerful way to creating the career and life you really want. As you build your brave, you will stress less, work less, and then earn more. This podcast will help you do just that. Let's dive in. So you just found out you're underpaid. What do you do now? This episode is going to answer that question. It's not an uncommon question. In fact, I've helped a number of my clients fix being underpaid. There are also a couple of conversations in the backlog of this podcast, all about fixing the all too common reality of women in tech being underpaid. The most recent is with Jenny Block. That's episode 150. So to hear her story, and she fixed her underpayment before we worked together. I'm not taking credit for that. But I am, in this episode, showing you how to manage it for yourself. All right. First, we are starting with a caveat. And the caveat is this. Sometimes you just need the paycheck. You do not have to address being underpaid. For example, if you are anywhere in the world on a limited visa or limited work permissions, if you are supporting extended family, if you have priorities that demand focus on benefits or location or flexibility or commute or whatever the case may be over your salary, that's okay. Please skip the shame, skip the blame. Please. I have been in a phase of my life, and that's what it is. It's a phase. Some of my clients have been in the phase where a paycheck is a paycheck is a paycheck, and other life and professional situations demand a focus away from the salary, from the money, and onto other things. That isn't your fault. If you are in a situation like that, it's not your fault. It's a systemic issue. It has been designed to set you up. It's not your fault. Please skip the shame and the blame. That being said, it is a phase. And like all phases, it comes to the end. So even if you're in that phase with of this caveat, listen to the rest of this episode for your future when your situation or your structure changes. You got to have this information in your brain. Okay? All right. So you are in a situation where you don't have that caveat and you are ready to address the fact that you are underpaid. Here we go. We've got 8 steps. And step 1 and step 8 are exactly the same. Ready? Feel your feelings. Do not skip this step. In fact, every single step after this is specifically for you to feel your feelings and take action. First, feel your feelings. For people who have listened to other podcast episodes, you know that this is not what I did when I found out I was 30,000 euros underpaid. Please do not take my mistake and replicate it. First, take a beat, feel your feelings. Okay. The second step, you need to confirm that while you may be underpaid, you are not also completely stressed out and overworked, and that your performance is actually as good as you think it is. That means you need to ensure that your behavior is the behavior of a colleague, of a professional who isn't headed into burnout, in burnout, or just generally stressed out. You are calm more often than you are flustered. You are thoughtful more often than you're rushed. You're doing work appropriate for your level. If you are currently stressed out, if you are currently overworked, if your performance is actually not solid, you are not underpaid. Is that fair? No, it's not, but it is reality. Stressed out people do not get promotions or significant raises. Is that fair? Absolutely not. Remember when I said that about broken systems? But is it real? Yes, very much. If any of those things are true for you, your work right now is to figure out how to lower your stress, lower the amount you're overworking, stop doing other people's jobs, and get your performance back to stable. Now, if none of that is possible where you're working, maybe you have a global role and that's what's driving the level of stress that you have. Maybe you have an immature or even toxic set of colleagues and manager, then you need to skip ahead to get on the market and get a different job. All right. Or you need to work with me because that's exactly what I help people do. I help them lower their stress by building the skill of bravery. I also have, quick plug, I also have a free offering called the Accountability Triangle. It has a video and a workbook to help you lower your stress. I think about 30, 40 people have gone through it, and I've gotten many emails of how people significantly lowered the amount they work and the amount of stress they carry just by utilizing that video and the workbook. All right, let's get going. Number 3, this is step number 3. So 1, feel your feelings. 2, confirm you are actually in a good place and your performance is solid. Number 3, get as specific as you can. This is data. So if you're in Europe, you're going to talk to your union or your trade organization. If you're in the US, you're going to do a quick search for job postings in one of the many and ever-growing states who have pay transparency laws. Yes. If you are able to vote in the United States, take this moment to reach out to your state representative, your state senator, and say thank you if you have pay transparency laws and tell them to put them in place if you do not. If you're in Asia, you're going to talk to, for example, your university, your certifying body. They tend to have really good information. Talk to your mentors and very, very carefully to your colleagues. If you are in Africa, listen, my experience, and I don't think my experience is an outlier, but the people of Africa are very open to support each other and ensure you're being paid appropriate. Please do leverage that. And then if you are in a dysphoria, meaning you are American and you're living in, I don't know, in Taiwan, if you are Indian and you're living in Canada, there are groups of fellow immigrants that tend to be so beautiful, so informative, so supportive. Get specific, get the support. You want to then, when you have all of the data, and if you, like with Jenny's example, have a pay transparency job posting from your employer, you don't have to do any more work. Okay, you're done. You don't have to do anything else. You just use their own job posting. All right, then when you're getting as specific as you can, you set your goal, you set your target, what you are willing to accept and what you actually want. Those are two different things. You get to think about salary, benefits, investments like continued education, certification, coaching, conferences, et cetera, time off, and many other benefits. Okay. So this is also a really beautiful moment for you to reflect if you really want the raise or the promotion. Before you freak out, please allow me to be more specific. Yes, more money is fantastic, especially in a time of crazy layoffs, savings dwindling because inflation is going up. The cost of housing globally is skyrocketing. It's wild, right? And at some point, you may be at that, doing ever more work or having ever more responsibility, ever more is perhaps not what you want. Instead of the raise, perhaps you would like to be properly paid for a different set of work, and you want to hand over the more senior or more sophisticated work. You get to do that. In fact, one of my clients came to me to fix her stress level and the fact that she knew she was underpaid. Through working together, she realized she actually didn't want to fix the underpayment. She wanted to get rid of the more sophisticated work. She wanted to focus on her creative side business, and she wanted to have more time with her kids and her family without becoming a stay-at-home mom, because she was not going to sacrifice her financial independence. That may be you as well. So take this step, number three, to reflect on what it is you truly want. It doesn't always have to be more. Okay, step number four. This is where you're going to create your strategic approach. So you're feeling your feelings still. You've ensured your stress level, your work level, and your performance level are solid. You've gotten the data, you've created the goal, you've created your minimum, and now you decide how you are going to implement this. I strongly recommend that with a coach, a mentor, or a friend, you practice your ask. Then I really recommend you answer at least three of these questions. You probably have more. How far are you willing to escalate and how quickly? That's one question. Number two, how long are you willing to follow up and wait for their final decision? Set a clear deadline. And number three, are you willing in the process of escalation and of waiting for the response, are you willing to continue the stress and the extra work and the level of work that means that you're being underpaid? You need to set a boundary for your work. I strongly recommend that you include HR in these conversations. My suggestion is you talk to your manager. So you practice with a friend, you answer those questions for yourself. Then you talk to your manager in the one-on-one. Then you include HR. And then you create your specific agreements with your manager and with HR. And if you need to, you continue to escalate in a way that you've decided is acceptable for you. All right. So how do you start the conversation with your manager? So a couple of suggestions here. Number one, you want to listen to my episode about crucial conversations, how to have them, and you want to practice that. You want to make sure that you have set up a focused meeting with your manager. Your manager knows you want to talk about your salary and compensation. Please, please, from someone who has done it wrong, I did it the wrong way, and I also had people do it to me the wrong way. Please do not surprise your manager. I have never experienced it going well. I have never seen it go well. I've never heard of it going well. Set up a specific meeting and make it clear you want to talk about your compensation. Okay. Before that conversation, again, feel your feelings. Choose how you'd like to feel. Practice that inside of the meeting, utilizing the Crucial Conversations framework. In that first meeting, leave that meeting with a set of agreements. Timelines, who's talking to who and by when you will check in. And if your manager suggests in your regular one-on-one meeting, that's fine. If you're going to have separate meetings, that's fine. But you have to be clear on if and when you're going to escalate and when HR needs to be involved. Okay. Number six, keep the conversation going. This is your career. This is you being underpaid and overworked. This is you being stressed. This is you addressing a you problem. Is it the result of bad behavior and bad decision making from the system that is paying you? Yes. Yes, it is. It's your job to fix it. Would I love if it worked differently? Yes, it doesn't. It's your job. That means as you keep the conversation going, you're going to track it. It's going to be transparent. It's going to be in writing. And get yourself support. Lots of it. Lots of it. Okay. Because it's going to take time to fix the issue. You're going to have a number of repeated conversations. You're going to talk to more people than you want. And for at least 50% of the people that I have coached, you are going to have little digs and little threats, whether they're subtle or direct, that you're going to have to navigate as a professional. So a mentor or mentors, friends, your partner, your therapist, if this brings up triggers from your past, a coach to support you in the future, focus skill building if you want individual support. And in this moment, as you're tracking it, I give you the permission that no one has vested in me. Take time off. Sick leave while trying to deal with the situation. It's okay. Take time off. Take a holiday. Let them feel your gap. Step number seven. You need to be on the market. Now, remember, I have a podcast episode and I talk about this a lot. You are never off the job market. There is no job security. None. None. So you need to always be talking to people, always networking, always checking out what's going on in the industry. It doesn't have to be a lot, but it does have to be active. Your resume and your LinkedIn need to be up to date, period. No excuses. At the point in time, remember you made those decisions in step four about escalation, about deadlines, about boundaries of work. This is the time where you need to be applying formally. You need to be talking to people, utilizing your network, going to networking events, even volunteering. It's amazing how many career opportunities come up out of volunteering. Now, that's not why we volunteer. But it does have other benefits. And then step number eight, which is also step number one, feel your feelings. Make sure you're keeping in connection with how you're feeling, especially if this begins to dig into your confidence. You need to work with a coach or a therapist, depending on the trigger, depending on the focus. You need to turn to your mentors. You need to check your mindset. Okay. One last comment about this, and I'm going to be very brave here. Whether you're in the moment of time where you need to address this now, or you're learning this for the future, in my experience, which is not small, most companies and most managers are unwilling to fix the payment gaps. It's sad. It's also true. And when it does get fixed, there are very few who do not hold grudges. It's unfortunate, but it's true. Some exceptions. If your employer is exceptionally large with lots of movements, or your manager was truly unfamiliar, which is very, very uncommon, but truly unfamiliar. Maybe they just came into the management role when you found out you were underpaid. They have emotional awareness and they are strong leaders, mature leaders. Most of the time, your direct manager and your HR feel uncomfortable about you because you uncovered and you demanded a fix for bad decision-making. And that has long-term, small, but not insignificant consequences. It did for Jenny, and it did for me too, midterm. And still, please lean in to fixing the underpayment instead of cutting and leaving. For yourself, please build the skill, build your self-confidence, build your bravery by acknowledging and asking for and project managing a correction. Do this for yourself, but also the people around you. Do it to help inspire more equitable processes. Do it to expose bad behavior within a system or a person. And remember, get on the market, stay on the market. You are in charge of your brave career. So build your brave career. Until next time. If the Build Your Brave Career podcast is helping you flip the script in your own career, if it's helping you reduce your stress, work smarter, or create more income, please share this with a friend. Till next time, you are already brave. Now go build your brave.